Amen. Truly, we can imagine what it's going to be like when we get to heaven. But the Bible says, eyes have not seen, nor have ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. So we are thankful to God that he's brought us again today for this worship and to just honor his name, because the Lord is good and his mercy endures forevermore. Amen. Got a couple of announcements before we get into the scripture, but while we're reading the announcements or sharing them, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 53. For those of you that are online, we pray that you'll be able to join us in that scripture passage today, Isaiah 53 verses 1 and 2, and then we're also going to be looking at John chapter 1 and verse 14. Reverend Gibbons has been keeping us up with what's going on in Sunday school, and when we do meet again in Sunday school, we'll be able to have gone over many of the lessons. But a couple of announcements. First, we have a thank you to the Crossroad Baptist Church for the gift that you sent. This is Be Blessed by Shelby Cunningham. And as Sean has mentioned earlier, I want to show our appreciation to all the veterans. Today, we're going to be celebrating them as Dana has provided some of the things that we can pass out to let you know that we appreciate the service that you've given to our country. Lastly, we want to share with you that the service for Mrs. Olivia Hughes will be today at 1 p.m. And so we're asking that as those of you gather, that we'll recognize social distancing, much as we do in our regular worship service. But we want to honor her. She served here in this church all her life. And we're grateful for that. 96 years of age. The Lord blessed her with a long and productive life, and we're grateful for her service. Amen? Amen? Today we're going to talk about, where do you get your news? Where do you get your news? And as we share that, I want us to reflect on something that is very critical not only for your base of information, but how you live your life. Isaiah 53 verses 1 and 2. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. John chapter 1 verse 14 reads this way, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. Lord, we just want to thank you for this opportunity that we have again to celebrate your goodness and your love. I pray that you would continue to bless us. Bless our time together, Lord. Bless our church. Bless our nation. Bless our world as people are struggling under this pandemic. Many have lost their homes and some have lost their lives. God, many are dealing with unemployment and other conditions. Some of them, even though they've recovered after 14 days, they still have to look at the long-term effects of this illness. And God, I just want to thank you that you're still in control, that you're still here, and you still bless. Thank you for this branch of Zion. Thank you, Lord, for our leaders here. Thank you, God, for blessing all of our members. Keep us strong and in your grace and love, and may we learn of you and learn of your ways. We humbly ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. And all the believers said, amen. You know, it's critical that we be informed. It's critical that we get information, because from that we're able to decide, we're able to respond to the different situations that are around us. Lack of information can not only be dangerous, it can be fatal. You have to have the right information at the right time. If I'm standing on the railroad track and the train is coming, and I may not hear it, I would love some information that would tell me the train is coming. Better yet, I would love for someone to intervene and help me get out of the way of the oncoming train. But I want to warn you, not all information is good information. I want to warn you that there is deception. It's always been that way, and it's always going to be that way until the Lord returns. But I want to look at something today. What if, rather than responding to the information of this world, what if we responded to the information that comes out of heaven? What difference would it make? What change would it produce in our lives if we responded to the information that came out of heaven? I want to make three arguments today. Number one, God is providing abundant information out of heaven. I want to make that claim today. I want to make that claim. I want you to be assured that God is not silent, that He is speaking. But the second claim that I want to make is that when this information is received, it produces a lasting change. Isn't that something? Now, you get information, it may not change a thing in your life. Matter of fact, it may make things worse. But the information that comes out of heaven produces change. Third claim I want to make before I take my seat today, that doesn't mean I'm getting ready to sit down. I'm just telling you what I'm going to talk about. Then I'm going to talk about it, and then I'm going to tell you what I talked about, and then I'm going to sit down. But the third thing that I want you to recognize today about information that comes out of heaven, not only will it produce change, but it causes us to be life changers. It so floods our life, our cup runs over, so that now not only are we changed, but we become the agents of change. I've said that more than once, that as a church, we must not just be church attenders. We must be those that evangelize the world. We can change the world by our conversation. As a matter of fact, your life has impacted somebody else, either good or bad. I also want to remind you that the way that you got saved, Jesus did not come down from heaven. He did not go through His life and death and burial. He spoke to you through someone that had heard from someone, and they had heard from someone whose life was changed, and that changed your life. I don't want us to be so impacted by this pandemic that we fail to carry out our missionary duty for God. I don't want us to be so fearful that now we shut down. Now is a good time to tell someone the good news that's out of heaven. Amen? Amen. Clap your hands if you believe that today. Yes, it's news worth listening to. It's news worth having. The sad reality is that we've got distractions. We've got other things. And why is it that we have difficulty in hearing the good news? Isaiah said, "Who has believed our report?" So in other words, Isaiah said, I'm revealing something that has come from God, but someone has not believed it. They've not put their trust in it. And ladies and gentlemen, we must put our trust in the living God. You know, you go to the different media sources and you go to Facebook and you assume that what you hear and what you read is all good, but it's not all good. Many have found out that it is deception. Many have found out that it causes more harm than anything else. I will tell you that a lot of that free stuff that they tell you that's all on the internet is not free. It's free up front, but then it'll cost you at the end. Are y'all still listening? So it is that we must turn our attention to heaven. Heaven, I believe, is speaking to us in this age in which we're living in. Now, as we turn to the Bible, we can look at scripture after scripture and find it being fulfilled and say, oh, so that's what God meant. That's what God was telling us, that he is the Lord, our God. The news out of heaven, I'm here to tell you that God brings salvation to this world, but we've got to be willing listeners, willing listeners. Now, what causes us to not be willing listeners? We wrestle against this thing called flesh. While we may want to point at someone else and say, that's the problem and that's the problem, but the majority of our problems doesn't come from the outside. It's the internal stuff that we struggle with. Do I have any witnesses? It's the struggle within our own mind and our own heart. Paul described it this way in Romans chapter 7 and verse 19. He says, when I want to do good, evil is right there. So that the good that I would, I don't do, and the evil that I don't want to do, I end up doing it. And then he cries out, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Paul did not just leave it and say, oh, well, that's just the way it is. He depended on the news that was coming out of heaven to transform his life. The reason why you and I can hold our head up, and even when we fail, we can hold our head up and know that there is forgiveness from heaven because of the news that came out of heaven. When you believe that, it transforms your life. You say, well, why are we so distracted by the things of this world? John put it this way in his letter that he wrote in 1 John. He said, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father. Why is it that we're drawn to stuff that doesn't come from God? Why is it that it seems in this day and age in which we're living in that people are chasing after money rather than chasing after the Spirit of God? Why is that? You know, and there are a lot of people, they know they're not going to win, and they'll play the lottery anyway. And they say, well, maybe next week I'll get a better number. Let me give you a good number called 66. 66 books in the Bible. That's a good one. It'll work. You don't play it. You read it. You read it. But we're drawn to these things. The nature of the flesh draws us to these things. And it didn't just start with our generation. The first temptation happened when people believed the news out of the world or from the serpent rather than the news out of heaven. God had said to them, this is what you do. This is how you live. Don't go there. Don't touch that. One thing they had to do, and guess what? That's the one thing they were tempted to do. Isn't that something? And they believe the news from this world. And a lot of people are believing the news from this world rather than the news out of heaven. The news in this world is going to get you confused, but the news that comes out of heaven will tell you if you trust God, God will bring you through. As a matter of fact, some of you all have road tested that thing. You know that God can make a way out of no way. Some of you have road tested it. You know that the Lord has brought you this far and he's kept you this long so that you could make it through the different struggles and trials. And even though you had to suffer and cry, thank God you made it. Matter of fact, that's why we worship, because God is the one that brought us over. Amen. Amen. There are a lot of people today that they are recovering from different things, including Corona. And I can tell you, we're going to get through this, folks, but we got to stay together. We're going to get through this, but I don't want us to, after we've gotten through this, to still be living under the panic, under the shock of this thing. If you put your trust in God and get the news out of heaven, you'll make a full recovery. Amen. Some didn't get it, but he came anyway. The Bible tells us in that verse, John 1 and verse 14, the Word, everything that God had said, everything that God had spoken, and the very essence and person of God came in flesh. Isn't that something? Amen. You know, you can put on a cape and you can pretend you're a superhero, but that doesn't make you one. Jesus came in a simple body, but he was also very God. He proved it through his miracles. He proved it through the signs and wonders. He proved it through the truth. And at one point in John 14 and verse 6, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He was all God. Amen. He was all God. Do you not know that even though he was all God, people did not believe that report? They said, nah, you can't be God. You can't be God because you don't fit our description. Isaiah had already said some 800 years earlier, they're not going to believe it. They're not going to believe that this is the one. They're not going to believe it. But some will. Some will. Some will say, wait a minute. And here's the proof of whether or not something is real. Try it. You've tried bad stuff. Got involved with the wrong people, and they messed you up. You tried that, right? Then why not try Jesus? Why not try his promises? Why not go to him and say, Lord, I believed all of the other reports, but now I want to believe your good report. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a good report that Jesus is giving us. It's a wonderful thing that he's doing in our lives and for us each day. And if we reject him, we only push away the promises of God Almighty. You know, the Bible says that in a later verse in John, it says that Jesus came to his own and his own did not receive him. Isn't that something? Your own family don't want you. Isn't that something? I know you got family members that you don't want them to come around, but you know, you're not cold. You want to try to help them out if you can, even though you say sometimes, oh, Lord, here they come. But Jesus, the Lord of glory, God in the flesh, came to his own people, and they rejected him. But do you not know the verse does not stop there? The verse goes on to say, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There are a lot of things that the news out of heaven is going to tell you to believe that you're going to have difficulties with. You're going to have struggles with. All right? Because some of the things you haven't seen it with the eye. You haven't touched it with the hand. It's called by faith. Are y'all still here? But you know what God will do? This gracious God will do in your life, and he's done it in my life. He will give you faith to believe him. You say, well, how did I come to the truth? God gave you faith according as the Holy Spirit has dealt to everyone the measure of faith. We've shook our heads and we said, God, I don't know how you're going to do it. All of a sudden, you're believing God anyway, and God performs. God comes through. He has never failed, and he never will fail because he's the awesome and almighty God. How would you know that you needed God if it wasn't for a storm? How would you realize that all of a sudden you can't make it if it wasn't for something that was impossible for you? But Jesus said, what's impossible for man is not impossible with God. Look at somebody and tell them it's not impossible. It's not impossible. God will perform his holy word. So some did get it. That's why we continue to have a church. That's why we continue to move on with this great plan that God has. We continue to press our way forward. And I will tell you, saint of God, don't lose heart now. Do not give up now. Because if you give up, you'll turn back. And if you turn back, there is nothing to turn back to. Our faith is pressing us, or is causing us to press our way forward. Paul the apostle was one that he realized, I've got to trust in God. And even though he struggled with his own life and with the things that was in his own life, he said, you know what? I thank God that I have the gift that Jesus gave me. You've got a gift that God has given you. You've got a wonderful Savior, amen, that loves you and is in your life every day. Isn't that something? You say, well, I can't see him. I don't see him with the eye. No, no, no. It's not a thing where Jesus is here in the flesh with you, but he said, when I get back to heaven, I'm going to ask the Father and he will send you the Holy Spirit. How many of you have experienced the Holy Spirit? Times of depression, times of loneliness, times of confusion, and you hear the voice of God speaking to you, not just as you read the word, but sometimes even if you haven't read it, God will reveal his truth through the power of the Holy Spirit. He begins to impress on your heart because the word is not just in here, it's in here. The word is on the inside of us and it's working mightily. It's producing in us the righteousness that God wants us to have. It's bringing us to the level of our faith where God wants us to be. I want to tell you today, I want to tell you unequivocally, you have yet to get to that level where God wants you. And guess what? If you let him have his way, he'll bring you there. He'll bring you there. Are y'all still here? So we understand that God has spoken clearly. That's the first point. God has spoken boldly, he's spoken clearly, and he's revealed his truth out of heaven. But then we said that there's a change. There's a change that takes place in your life. When you believe and follow the truth, there's a change that takes place in your life and mine. I wrote down something this morning. I said, the information we receive and the process has a direct impact on our actions. What do I mean by that? In other words, you learn something and then you perform it. I want to tell you what happened when the news came out of heaven and God spoke a word in your spirit and said that you will be saved. Many of us gave our life. We've surrendered to him. Am I right about it? And what we want to do now is change the message. No. No time to change the message now. If it worked then, it'll work now. If you believe on him, if you trust in him, he produces that change in your life. Here's the way Paul again, by the way, I'm not talking about my cousin Paul, I'm talking about the Apostle Paul, all right? I got to get our Pauls right, and I'll come back to that in just a minute. But he says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creature. I want you to think back to that moment where Christ entered your heart. And you looked at your life and you said to yourself, God, I thank you that you've forgiven me. I thank you that you purged me from my sin. I don't know your reaction, but mine was at a chapel in Osan Air Base in South Korea, far away from family, just me and God. And on that night, I accepted Christ. I ran all the way from the chapel to my barracks. Didn't know why I ran. I just felt like running. Then I remember what the old folks said. I felt like running. I felt like shouting because Jesus had come into my heart. But you know what? I had been close. I was in the church, but the church was not in me. But when the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, got in me, it produced a change. I had no 12-step program to quit drinking. But when I got Jesus in there, he said, you don't have any more thirst. Your thirst is quenched. You are delivered. I'm here to tell you that Christ is the one that produces the change in our lives. You can be a new creature. Some of you are still living on that newness. How'd you like stuff that didn't wear out? How'd you like to have something, clothes that didn't wear out, cars that you didn't have to make a payment? You paid for it and it still looks brand new. Isn't that something? Now, I want to tell you that the stuff we get down here is going to wear out. But what you got on the inside is not going to wear out. As a matter of fact, it's going to get better and better every day because you trust him. It produces a change. What caused you to have such a change in your life? That once you were ashamed of speaking for him, now you want to be bold because you know what he's done for you. What causes that boldness? What causes you to be transformed so that now your life represents something and represents meaning? I think we've gotten to a place now where the gospel is being watered down, where people are getting a version of it that says, okay, get Jesus, but then do what you want. Now, one is going to control the other. Either you're going to control Jesus or he's going to control you. And by the way, that first one that I told you, you controlling Jesus, that's a lie. You cannot do it. He is the one that comes in with the authority. With the authority. Now you say, well, why is he wanting to control my life? To get you to heaven. To get you through this life. To get you through the struggles that you're facing. To get you into a place where God would look at you and say, this is my beloved child. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Last time I checked, I was still looking a lot like Coleman, but I'm trying to be like Jesus. How's that? How's that? So we see how that getting this news out of heaven, God spoke clearly. But this news out of heaven also transformed our lives. The last thing I want to share with you today is when you get the word, when you really get it on the inside, you become a life changer. A life changer. A life change. What do you mean by that? God will send you to some people. You don't know why you're going to talk to him. You don't know why that person's on your mind, but you just start praying for him. And next thing you know, you're up in their face and you're telling them that they need to trust God. How many of you have been there? You don't know why God sent that person your way. Lord, why did they come my way? They were sent to you so that you could speak what the Lord had done for you. I'm here to tell you, you can only testify to what you know. Amen. You can only bear witness to what you know. But when you know that you know, when you know that he's a way maker, when you know that he's a burden bearer. See, I like to talk to folk that have been through a storm to tell me how to get through one. Nowadays, you got folks with degrees, and I'm not against education. Get all the education you can, but make sure you got some common sense. But because you read it in a book and you've never tried it for yourself, don't tell me what you've never been through. But when I see a person who's heartbroken and I know that they've been through, but they still got a smile on their face, I know that Jesus has got to be in there somewhere. The Lord has guided them. The Lord has directed you. And I'm going to tell you that when you get the news, you want to give the news. Let me tell you what happened back in 1865. What 1865 got to do with this? They had this thing of when in 1863, there was an Emancipation Proclamation that had been signed by President Abraham Lincoln. He signed it in 1863. But some folks did not hear about it until 1865. Now, the folks that heard about it in Texas in 1865, and they heard, wait a minute, we've been set free. We've got a new life. They didn't say, well, that news is old news. They said, you know what? I'm glad to get it. And when they got it, they rejoiced. They were praising. They had what they called Juneteenth. Because it happened in the month of June. But they said, you know what? We're going to celebrate anyway because it's our freedom. When you hear about the good news of Jesus Christ, that he's emancipated you, that he has set you free, ladies and gentlemen, that's still good news. It never grows old. It never gets stale because we know where the Lord has brought us from. But more importantly, we know where the Lord has taken us to. Oh, praise God. You know what? When I hear about the news of this world, I don't get upset. I don't let it bother me like I used to. I don't let it get under my skin. I go out and play golf. And I do that for a reason. This world is not my home. Right? Now, I'm here. I want to do the thing that a citizen should do because I'm living in America. But guess what? I got a dual citizenship here. My citizenship is up in glory where Christ is. Don't let the things of this world break your heart. Don't be going to sleep at night crying yourself to sleep over crazy stuff in this world. It's going to pass away. But heaven and earth, amen, may pass away. But God is always going to be in control. I want to close this message by telling you that the information you have, it will impact you and it will impact others. Let me tell you the story about two Sauls. One was the name of Saul, an ancient king. The other Saul was of the New Testament, and ironically, both of them were from the same family of Benjamin. Same family line, but different directions. One, the Saul of the Old Testament, or the Saul of old, was chosen by God. And this man was head and shoulders above all of the other people. He was a tall man. I started to say, I'm a tall man, but you know the difference. Saul was one that was leader in Israel. The first king had the opportunity of being God's gracious king. But somewhere down the line, Saul stopped listening to the news out of heaven. He stopped listening to the word of God, and that led to his disobedience. Then his disobedience led to his rebellion, and then his rebellion led to his death, all because he stopped getting the news out of heaven. Now, in this pandemic, I'm not really concerned about how you get the news, Facebook, over the internet, or reading on the online devotion, or tuning in on Sunday morning, or WLLL 9:30 a.m. I'm not concerned about how you get it. I want to know, did you get it? Amen. And if you get the good news, it's going to be something that produces in your life. Saul had turned off the word of God. You know how you turn off the word of God? You start turning it down. Wait a minute. Yeah, I know God said that, but maybe that's next time. No. Turn it up. Your flesh is going to say, wait a minute, I don't want to follow this. But your spirit is saying, I need it. Did you not know that at the end of his life, Saul made this personal testimony? 1 Samuel 26 and verse 21. At the end of his life, when he had to write his record of what he'd done, and call it an autobiography, I guess that's what you call it, right? You do it yourself or whatever. But when he wrote his last testimony, this is what he said. I played the fool. I played the fool. What a statement. A man that had been tall, a man that had been mighty, a warrior. But he turned off the news from heaven and he started listening to the world around him. And his last testament was, I played the fool. Now let me fast forward some hundreds of years later to the New Testament. This man also was named Saul. He was Saul of Tarsus. Rebellious. Fighting against God's church, fighting against believers and hailing them and putting them in jail. Many of them, he bore witness to their death because they believed in this man called Jesus. But then one day on the Damascus Road, this man saw a bright light from heaven and a voice speaking to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And this man who thought he knew God found out he didn't know him. He said, who are you, Lord? Who are you? And the Lord revealed himself. That's what I'm talking about. The Lord revealed himself. You may not have been on the road to Damascus. You may have been on the road to Lynchburg. I was on the road to Scottsburg. I was on the road to hell. But God spoke. God spoke, and that made all the difference in the world. So here's this man. He pays attention. He listens to the voice of God. He listens to what God has to say to him. And you know what it does? It transforms his life. This one man who had once been rebellious, who was also named Saul, went on missions for the Lord because he believed in it, telling other people about the same Jesus that had got him straight. Matter of fact, he went to a street called Straight. Isn't that something? you can't stay crooked when you're in God's kingdom. Amen? Saul, now with this redeemed life, would go over the world. He would write the majority of the New Testament. Why? Because he knew this God that he was talking about. What happened to Saul? He started getting his news out of heaven. He got his news out of heaven. If I were you, before I went to bed at night, The 11 o'clock news would not be the last thing I would hear from. I'd make sure I'd get on my knees and hear from heaven. Amen. Lord, help them folk I just heard about. All right. Saul went on to live his life. And from a Roman prison, right before his death, he gave this testimony. Not I played the fool. Here's his word. 2 Timothy 4:7, I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. If I were to give a testimony, it might not be I've kept the faith. I would say the faith has kept me. Amen. The faith that God gave me. We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word, and He never, never failed me yet. I've kept the faith. I wonder, as I close this message, and you've got your news that you're listening to, I pray that it would be the news out of heaven. But if you had to make a final statement based on this word, I have what comes after that. Will it be I played the fool? Will it be I did my own thing? Will it be I lived my own life? As Frank Sinatra said, I did it my way. How will that concluding statement end in your life? I won't mind to be somewhere around what Paul said. I kept the faith. Let's pray. Father, You called us to something great. But have we settled with something less because we've stopped listening? Lord, prick our ears and touch our hearts. Help us to be receptive of the mighty things of God. After all, Father, it's not going to be us that does the work. We'll be Your agents, but it'll be the hand of God upon us that will lead us to do this work. God, I pray today that You would help us to tune in to heaven. Tune in to the messages that are coming out of Your word, that's coming from the Holy Spirit to this very heart of ours. Forgive us for clogging our ears with all of the chaos and all of the confusion. Forgive us for the doubt. Forgive us, Lord, even for the times of rebellion. Help us today by cleansing our heart, mind, and soul to hear the truth and let the truth set us free. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.